Everybody to the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast. Had a week off last week, so it's great to be back in action here this week. I am one of your hosts, Phil Vicinanza, and I am missing somebody here tonight. Our founder and other co-host, Vincent Acker, unfortunately had a death in the family and is out of town this week, so he will not be here tonight. So please keep himself and his family in your thoughts as they go through what they got going on, and hopefully Vincent can join us back here next week. But I am not alone this week. I have a co-host. He's not a stranger to the show, especially from the early days. He kicked this podcast off with Vincent, and I'm very honored and proud to have him back here tonight. Our other co-host tonight is the one and only MJ Solorio. MJ, welcome back.
What's up, guys? How's it going? I'm back. Good to be back.
How are you? What have you been up to since we've last seen you?
Oh, man. I got a new job. I've been working. That's mainly been it. Just, you know, everything going on. Just trying to work, catch a show here and there when I can. But other than that, just trying to keep myself busy.
Well, we're great to have you here tonight. And make sure everybody that's tuning in, make sure you like and share this video. That's why my head's down, because I am sharing this podcast video all across the internet, so make sure everybody can jump in and hear our story from tonight's guest. We'll bring him in right now. We won't waste any more time. You know, we always like covering the West Coast here. That's the whole point of the podcast, and that includes up in Western Canada. And tonight, our guest is one of Monster Truck's rising stars. He has it on the back of his truck. He says, "Just send it," and that's his attitude no matter what he's driving. Our guest tonight is Jason Court from the Roughneck Monster Truck.
Bring me to life, bring it everything to me. It's taken me my whole life to realize all the things I've never seen. Bring me to life, bring it everything to me. Take me from the darkness that I've been in.
Jason Court, welcome aboard.
Welcome. Hi, how are you guys?
Doing good. Thank you for joining us here tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, MJ, why don't you get us kicked off?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you've seen some of our past episodes, you know, kind of how we do it here. So the first question, everyone gets it, you know, how did you, Jason, get into the motorsports industry?
I started out actually four-wheeling out in the back 40 there. Started out with an old Toyota, and I ended up blowing that up a couple times. And I moved in, or I bought and built an 87 Chev square body. I had 38-inch swampers on it and continued on with that. And then I decided I need a little more power. I built a 468 big block for that, and then it just wasn't enough. I moved into a mud sand drag car and ran that 468 in there for a little while. And then I added nitrous to it. And then I sold all that and I bought a new chassis out of Wisconsin and built a 540 naturally aspirated. And then I moved on to a blown alcohol deal. And then I was doing a lot of mud bogs and stuff with that. And then that's where I met Barry in the Western Renegade. And I started doing some shows with him. I joined his team. And I was still doing my own stuff, just helping him where I needed to be. And then I ended up in a little bit of an accident there with mine. And that's when I actually got into the monster trucks a lot more. And then I joined the Crude Behavior team. And now I'm in my own truck with the Crude Behavior team.
Awesome. You know, you said you were in a mud drag. You know, I did a little bit of research. I believe that mud drag was called Quartz Jester, if I'm not mistaken. What was that like? You know, you said you added nitrous to it. That's something you usually don't hear of.
That was in the very first mud drag car that I had. A gas motor, nitrous, just 250 shot, nothing crazy. And then I moved on. That one there, I wasn't making no great times with that, but I was definitely, it was all out for fun.
And I'm sure you had a lot of fun in the drags and everything. You know, comparing it to obviously a monster truck, we could definitely talk about that in a bit. But when you're in the sand drags, what's something, you know, comparative to maybe just like a regular race car? For somebody that's maybe not familiar with the sand drags, what is that experience being strapped in to the drags and competing with that every weekend?
Well, with the sand drags, normally I was only going out for like 12 seconds for the whole weekend type deal. Drive all over the province or a couple provinces over and for, you know, a couple seconds each pass. You can only, in mine, I can only see straight. There was no head turning, kind of like in our monster trucks. It was just all straight line stuff.
Well, it's a lot of straight line, and you know, it's such an interesting dynamic. So, is that always what you wanted to do? You always wanted to be a racer?
I don't know if I always wanted to be a racer, but the adrenaline was always there, and that's where I was able to get it all. There was never a shortage of it. There's always something going on. Yeah, that's, I guess, where I'll be. Is in a race seat somewhere.
So talk about now, you know, looking into the monster truck scene. You first met Barry Parkin, you know, what you were driving your sand drags. What was your experiences first meeting Barry and being around monster trucks?
When I first met Barry, I was, his truck, well, it was all torn up at a show in Ardmore, Alberta. And he busted a couple axles, and I went over there because I was kind of feeling sorry for the guys. They weren't having a very good run that day. So I went over and seen if I could give them a hand, and I ended up underneath the truck there for a few hours with them, getting it up and going for the next day. And then I just kept going to check on them throughout the rest of the weekend, see if they needed anything, because I had all my stuff kind of flanged up, was all ready to go. And I always wanted to be into the monster trucks a little bit. I didn't think I'd go as far as I am now, but here we are.
Yeah, and you know what they say, once you're in the monster trucks, it's very hard to get out. You know, now's a good time to remind everybody, make sure you like and share this video as we continue on with Jason Court from the Roughneck and talking about a lot of his earlier experiences from the monster trucks. And, you know, we were just talking about the sand drags, and I will lead into that here. What's the – obviously, we know, like, the visual differences, but what's the biggest difference from the sand drags to monster trucks?
Everything's a lot bigger. You get to – you experience a whole new – it's a whole new adrenaline. Everything's bigger. There's more bars around you. You got way more seat time. Well, sometimes. It's way different.
And maybe, you know, the physical loads too, where a lot of the wear and tear working on the trucks, you know, what really goes into working on the trucks that maybe you didn't have when you're working on sand drags or another vehicle?
The monster trucks, whenever you were with them, it was all or nothing. There was no in-betweens. If they broke down, you know, beginning of the show, end of the show, whenever, it was all hands on deck. You got it up and going for the next one. There was no, very little sleep, you know, couple hours here and there if you could. Monster trucks, it's all you're gonna get 12 hours of sleep, but just depending on how, right? You might get two here and two in a couple days type deal. There's never set times for them,
right? It never fails. You never fail to somehow find sleep. We're talking about, you know, you driving the sand drag. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your first time driving a monster? What was that first experience like for you?
The very first time was in Regina, Saskatchewan. I was at another mud event with my drag stuff. Barry Parkin actually asked if I would give him a hand that weekend. And I said, yeah, I'll be there. He goes, well, I won't be. So are you able to run my gear for me? That was the ride truck, the monster truck, and of course, haul it all down there. So I agreed to it, but I had no seat time. I was actually on holidays at the time, and it's probably my last holiday actually. I went up to his house. We tired the truck up. And it was pouring rain. I got about, you know, 5, maybe 10 minutes of seat time in it. Just kind of went into the back corner there of his yard. And he had a car and a dirt ramp set up there. I hit that a couple times, and he told me to park it. You're burning too much fuel. So we tired down, and I went back a couple of weekends later and went to Regina. And... you know, not my gear, never run anything like that before. It was pretty intimidating. I always seen a lot of monster truck courses set up. And of course, you know, I was expecting, you know, somewhat the same, but it was different. They had cars, you know, they actually had crush car, but it was on its side. So you had to hit it with a little bit more speed, and I didn't want to wreck nothing, so there wasn't much speed there the first go, and that jump hurt. And then after that, Brandon there, I got back, and he's, you got to hit it faster, more speed. So after that, it was kind of all or nothing.
And what was, you know, I'm sure you had a million things running through your mind. What if there's anything you really can remember about what was going on through that in your head, what would it be?
That was Barry in the background. You know, don't wreck it. I got another show to do next weekend. So, yeah, that was my biggest thing. I didn't want to wreck nothing. And turns out all I did, I think, is we forgot to take the flag off the back of the truck when we loaded it in the hauler, and we scratched the roof a little bit.
Oh, man, you know, that's all rookie stripes. But that first event weekend, who were some of the other people that were out there with you? Obviously, Barry's in your ear. But who else was out there with you?
That weekend there, I had Brandon there with me, and then my brother was with me, and my boy. My brother brought all my gear up, and Brandon and I brought the semi and the ride truck and race truck. And Barry's girlfriend was there at the time. She was kind of keeping an eye on the ride truck stuff for us while we were doing everything else. And then she broke that, so we had to quickly fix that as well. So there was a lot going on. There was no rest that weekend.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of growing pains, and I definitely got to get your feet wet somehow. And a great question just came in. If anybody has any questions for Jason Court, please leave them in the comments and we'll bring them right up. One's from Josh Eckel. He says, what's more nerve-wracking, driving your truck or someone else's?
I think maybe driving someone else's, just for the fact that you don't know how it's gonna land, how anything is, really. Me, I was kind of lucky. I never had that experience before, so I just every time you get in, it's gonna be a little bit of nerve-wracking, I think. I haven't done a show myself in about 565 days, actually. So the next time I strap in, it's gonna be a whole new learning curve.
Yeah, it's a lot of rust that everyone's gonna be shaking off, and it's still a lot of people out there that haven't had a taste of the track in a while, and we can't wait to see that. And be a good throwback to those early days when you were driving. And I know we talk about Barry a lot, Barry Parkin. And you know, what advice has he given you from those early days when you were in driving his Western Renegade truck that you still hold today?
He always said bright colors. Everything's got to be bright colors and loud. So I try and keep that, and I got the zoomies on, so we're keeping it loud as well.
Got to keep it loud and put it to the pedal. So how many times did you have to drive Western Renegade?
I actually only got to drive that truck one weekend. After that, he had a couple other events, and then he sold it.
Gotcha. So where do you go after that? You know, it's like you get the seat time, and then what's the next step right afterwards?
When I did that show in Regina with Barry's truck, we were actually doing the show with the Crude Behavior team. That was one of their very few first shows with their new Crude Behavior truck. So I talked with Jared and the rest of their crew a little bit, and I knew his brother from some of the mud events. They were doing some lawnmower racing and stuff. So actually about a year after that, I was in Bonneville is where I wrecked my car, and Jared's brother Derek, he come up and said, well, Jared's looking for a guy. If you're interested in being a part of the team, I can give him your number. And so I went and I gave him my number there. And it was about 6 months later, Jared contacted me, and we hashed out some ideas. And he dropped everything off in a wreck. So he gave me a hand. We put a new body on. We had to put new axle housings in. And that's when I did our very first show, or my very first show with Muscle Truck Throwdown in Grand Prairie, was with Jared, actually.
We got another question here in the comment section coming from the one and only Chris Kohler. He said, question, what does Jason think of Chris Kohler? Asking for a friend.
Oh, Chris, he's one of a kind. You know, he's awesome, dude. I wish I can run as hard as he does every weekend. A couple years ago, actually, our last show, Chris, he was going to college, so he said he was putting, he wasn't leaving anything left on that truck. And I watched him in Edmonton. He's, you know, hitting the sides of buses and everything. You know, he's an awesome dude. If anyone gets a chance to meet him, you know, it's pretty cool.
And you brought up Edmonton a little bit. I believe, was it you had your Monster Truck Throwdown debut with Roughneck in Edmonton in, I believe, 2018, if I'm not mistaken?
I think it was, well, I did my Monster Truck debut in Lloydminster, Saskatchewan. And that there was a little different. We had a few engine issues, and then it was a couple weekends after that we did Edmonton, Alberta, yes.
And in Edmonton, I know this is probably super iconic. I know a lot of people have seen this, but during one of your freestyle runs, you ended up hitting the backflip and then sitting it on the rear end and just sitting there for a couple seconds. What was going through your mind that made you think, you know what, you know, I'm just going to hit the backflip and whatever happens, happens?
Well, that weekend there, when I hit that backflip, it was the Sunday show. There was nothing else to do. I had a whole whack of family in the stands. And my partner, Jared, there, he goes, if you're going to do it, now's the time to do it. And all I've ever seen, I've watched everyone kind of judging where they're starting, and I just kind of tried it, and when I landed on the back end there, I wasn't sure where I was, but I knew I had to do something, and all I seen was blue, so I knew I was not in the ground. So I went reverse, I brought it back down, and then I sent it over the bus stack, and that was pretty cool. Definitely got to do more of those.
So looking at some other fan comments, I'll go back a bit here from Brandon Kay, who's been so helpful with this podcast. He asked, what was Jason more excited for, landing the backflip or that crude-only sheared drive shaft in Saratoga?
I was pretty excited about landing my backflip. But I was also pretty excited for when we were doing a show in Vancouver Island at Saratoga Speedway. And I have bad luck with third members. And that's not what I wanted to change there. And Jared was running that truck that night on crude behavior there. And when he finally come back in, just the weld let go on the drive shaft. So, you know, I was like jumping up and down and enjoy. It was a quick fix, loaded in the hauler, and off we went.
Then we had another fan comment from Mike Menner from the Warhead Mini Monster, and he said, how did the 468 run in the Monster?
We've never ever had the 468 in a Monster. The 468 was in my square body mud bogger that I was using. We run all just 540s in the Monsters.
And of course, the man we've talked about quite a bit tonight from Western Renegade, Barry Parkin, he asks, who is your biggest fan or biggest hero / idol?
Oh, Princess probably wants me to say him, but, you know, I look up to Jim Kohler, you know. He's a pretty down-to-earth guy. You ever need any help, any advice, he's a phone call away. But Barry and his hair gel is pretty close.
Well, I'm sure he'll have something to say about that. Another fan comment from Bradley Court. He says, I'm your biggest fan.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for all the help.
Hopefully your brother shared this video tonight. And here, MJ will read the next fan comment.
We got another one here from Josh Eckel once again. He said, what part of the show do you dread the most, or where the nerves get in your head most?
Uh, I don't know. It's always at the beginning. You know, you can do, you get your pit party done, and it's always that initial fire up. Is it going to start? Is it not going to start? That always gets me. Every time they shut you off with the RII.
Yeah, the dreaded RII. So, you know, you drive the Roughneck. That's such a, you know, loud and proud truck. Where did the name Roughneck come from and some of the theming behind the Roughneck truck?
The Roughneck name, it come from the oil field. Crude behavior, obviously, is part of the oil field. Jared and I both work in the oil fields. So if we're going to have two trucks, we might as well represent both the economy that we're in. It's not the greatest economy right now, but we're doing our best as with what we got. As for the graphic stuff, you know, it's there is a derrick on the truck. Jared's got the pump jack on crude. So we just try to keep it all oil related.
Yeah, and it's a very loud truck. I love, you know, that that big loud you know, green colors and on that truck. You know, looking at the chassis itself, is that a chassis you guys built in house?
The very first chassis, well, actually in 2018 when we got that chassis, it was a Going Big chassis. It was built out of Comox, BC. It was a good chassis. We had some issues. And about 12 shows later, 2019 in August there, it was our last show, I finished off and I twisted the chassis. I had a few more breaks in it. It was in rough shape. So I took it over to Buddy's place, the Rabid Rabbit Monster Ride Truck, his shop. And we actually, we stripped it right down. Kind of the amount of work we put into it, we almost should have built the whole brand new chassis. We went everything, main frame rail, everything. We reused the shock towers, but we modified those. Parts of the cab we reused, but with more modifications, all new cradle, everything. So it's now it's a mine and rabbit chassis type deal.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of wear and tear, and that's, you know, you guys staying on top of it. Obviously, the teammate truck is Crude Behavior, and you've had a lot of seat time in that truck as well before, you know, getting in the Roughneck. What's the biggest difference between the Crude Behavior truck and your Roughneck truck?
The Crude truck sits taller than mine. It's got a shorter wheelbase, and sitting in the seat, you're more straight, sitting upright. It's different feel for sure.
It's a lot of, you know, differences when you're driving the trucks. You know, looking at a lot of the improvements, see where can I look at this? So when you're driving the truck with the wear and tear, you know, what's going through your mind when you're strapped into Roughneck and you're lined up on the line, and sometimes you're at somebody's big events and you have such big name competitors. What's going through your mind when you're at the line inside your own truck?
You want to fulfill all your runs. That was my biggest thing. I've always kind of, I feel I've tried to run hard. I don't like to, none of them half sends. So with that being said, you got more carnage usually, I've found. So that's my biggest fear, is always breaking. That's going to happen.
Well, that's why I always love the motto on your truck, to just say, just send it. It's such a fun attitude. And I know you have to have that when you run some of these bigger events and, you know, you talk about Monster Truck Throwdown. You know, what's a typical day in the life at Monster Truck Throwdown event for maybe some people that haven't been to one in person?
no sleep. There's a lot of fans that you got to keep happy. You got to run hard. There's never a dull moment. You know, you're running with some of the big name guys, Jim Kohler, Jimmy Creighton, Don Creighton, even Chris, he's taking his dad out now and he's world champ. So, you know, that's pretty impressive. I'm honored to run with them guys, actually. Never thought I'd be able to compete with that level of racers.
Yeah, and you know, looking from an outside, you know, a fan perspective, Monster Truck Throwdown puts together some of the strongest events in the industry, and I know it's a lot of fun. So, you know, when you go to a Throwdown event, do you look at it as more of an experience to have a lot more fun and just, you know, put it together versus maybe a smaller event? You know, this is more of a fun atmosphere when you're with Elliot Miller and his fun gang of people.
Yeah, Elliot Miller's crew there, they're awesome guys. They all have a plan. So between their show and like some of the smaller shows that we've done, the smaller shows, we kind of decide what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, where like Throwdown or them type events, everything's marked up. So we know what we have to do. They're telling us what we have to do. It's all on a timeline there. So I think that way it's a little less stressful.
And the less stress we can have is the best. I know I've been to shows where it's, you know, not really structured and it's just chaos. But we have another question here from Brandon K. He says, have you learned the difference between 80 miles an hour and 80 kilometers an hour?
Yeah, I think I know the difference.
Yeah. And we got another one from Brandon that just came in. He said, thoughts on hockey dashers?
Well, I did hit a hockey dasher once, and that was on a lawnmower in Grand Prairie. Just tagged it a little bit. I've never got one on the monster truck, so I've been pretty happy that way. I've only done a couple indoor shows, so I'm, knock on wood, I'm winning that one. Our team has got one, but
yeah, let me jump in there because you know, we mentioned Grand Prairie. We've talked about that venue quite a bit on here. For anybody that's been up there, that's such a tight arena. You know, what goes through your mind when you're in a place like Grand Prairie?
Well, in Grand Prairie, I only got to run a mini monster truck there, not the full size one there, but even in the mini monster there, everything seemed like you were in such a small, it's such a small arena. They left the dashers in. There was just a couple of cars, nothing crazy. And yeah, it didn't take much. You were shut off there.
And you brought up the mini monsters. I know we have a couple viewers in here who, you know, run mini monsters. What is that like? Because I'm sure not many people know that you piloted a mini. You know, what's that like?
This mini monster, it still had rear steer as well. Just it didn't have self-centering like the big ones. This one has a little Honda in it. It got up and go. It might have actually hit 80 mile an hour on that one. I've never tested that one out. But yeah, it's a whole different ball game there again. Everything's so tight. But it's a fun little unit to run, that's for sure.
Got another fan comment here from Delaney Sackman. She says, Jason, Tim says you can't send it.
Well, the only time, I can't send it because of COVID. Otherwise, Tim doesn't like it when I do because I end up in his shop and he has to go to bed Wednesday night first for when I show up Friday because he doesn't get to sleep till Monday. It's the only time I can send it is when it's in his shop.
We got another comment here from the one and only Barry Parkin. He says, Jason has turned into a great driver. Started working on them knowing how to repair. And he says not many fell drivers can say that.
Yeah, I am a heavy duty mechanic by trade, so you know I kind of had an idea as to what has to go into these things. But yeah, I remember doing some Monster Jam shows with Barry in Edmonton at the Coliseum, and yeah, I was surprised. Like Barry, being that he was the owner, he got to help a little bit, but he was signing autographs and touching up his hair gel in places. So it was tough with Barry and doing Monster Jam shows. But yeah, I seen a lot of guys there. They just jump out of their trucks, and then they had a whole crew. It was definitely one day I'd like that experience, but I'm a long ways away.
We got another one here from, I'm sorry if I butcher this, Mike Tomiak. I'm sorry. He says, two-part question. What goes through your head leading up to your run? And for the second part of that, he says, do you have a plan when you head out there or just send it and hope for the best?
There's always, the mind's always running. You never know what's going to happen. You never know where you're going to go. As for a plan, I always go out and walk the track for freestyle anyways. I come out and like, I want to go over this car stack or this kicker. And after you hit the first jump, the truck's never where you want it to be anyways. So then it's all for the seat of your pants, and you got to send it.
Another great question came in from Josh Eckel. He says, what event would you want to compete at, in Canada or the U.S.?
Well, I've only ever done Canadian shows. I haven't had the opportunity to do any in the U.S. Ed Beckley with No Limits, he's contacted me a few times for a couple different venues. Just the times and the dates weren't quite working out. But yeah, I'd like to get down into the U.S. and run with a throwdown there again. And, well, really anyone. Something different to see how it is down there.
And yet another question or good story moment here from Brandon K. It says, if you want a good story about traveling the shows, and if you'll share all the details, ask Jason about Parksville.
Parksville. That's on Vancouver Island. I left town here one night and got off work and took off to the island to do a show. That was actually my very first show alone without Jared. Everything was going good. Got into the ferry, got off the ferry, got to Parksville. Scale lights were flashing there. And long story short, I got... I sat there for 6 hours. I got a 72-hour. There was some paperwork issues. But after the 6 hours, he said I could go. So I thought that means go. We got to the show. We did the show. And we had my co-pilot, Court. He got us back onto the mainland. And then I took over. And... we made her back home for another show.
Man, so, you know, we talked about your backflips a bit, and, you know, that's still such a unique trick in monster trucks. What was going through your mind the first time you attempted a monster truck backflip?
And how you're going to hit a perfectly straight wall. Like, this seems a little ridiculous. But I knew the fans liked it, whether it succeeded or failed. So I had to get it out of my system, whether it went good or bad. And my first one, I nailed it, and I was pretty happy. Must have been luck. But yeah, it's definitely a lot going through. Like, how fast you got to hit it? How far away do you got to go? You know, it was definitely fun though. All I seen was wall, sky, dirt, sky, and that fast.
So you had a notable backflip attempt, and I'm pretty sure you won the Crash Madness Award for Monster Truck Throwdown from that attempt. Walk us through that attempt and the carnage that the truck suffered.
That was the following year. That was in 2019. Yeah, I got a Crash Madness Award from Throwdown. Jared and I, we kind of wreck a lot of stuff in Edmonton. It's our hometown show. So we go big, or we try to go big. And we had to spend a couple extra hours getting crewed back together because it was sitting beside the backflip ramp all tore up. And then I went and attempted the backflip and landed on the roof or side and finished off the fiberglass, the chassis. I wrecked a lot of stuff that weekend. It started out in racing, actually. Saturday I was in racing with against Dawn Creighton, and she can run. She's one of the better drivers in the industry, that's for sure. And she had me, but I lost it on the corner and rolled, and had to do a bunch of fiberglass work that night too.
All in a hard day's work. It's now's a good time. Make sure, again, if you guys are enjoying this conversation with Jason Court, make sure you like this video and make sure you share it all across social media. As we continue on, as we pivot to our next segment of the show, try to do it all the time here. I have a bunch of pictures to show, so explain that photo. Yeah, the rules are simple. We show a picture and you explain it. So I have quite a few here, so I'll just get started.
That picture there, that was my drag car. I had that one for about 4 years. I ended up totaling it. I ended up actually being able to salvage the motor. There wasn't much left of anything else. That there race was in Wembley, Alberta, I believe, just outside of Grand Prairie. That was the very first weekend driving Western Renegade, Regina, Saskatchewan. That's where it all started, I guess. I hit the car stat while there was a car on its side there, and that's where it all started. One of our very first, might have been one of my second Monster Jam shows with Barry. We're watching him tear the truck up, ripping champagnes off. That was our engine builder. We call him Fig, but it's Ron out of North Vancouver with Precision Race Engines. Pretty good guy. He would fly out, give us a hand. He'll only touch engine stuff, though, usually. Harry was hard on the throttle again, and as you can see, he's probably on his phone. We busted up, or he busted up another third member. I believe that might have been in Teepee Creek. That one as well as outside of Grand Prairie. we couldn't find any ramps to load the Mini on one of our donor cars that we're going to build another Mini out of. So fired up the old loader there. Easiest way to put it on top. That was just another Edmonton show. Can't remember what all I wrecked that day, but there was a lot of it. That's the drive shaft from Saratoga, the one where the weld let go, and with it beating around, it damaged the end of the drive shaft there off of Crew Behavior. That was my very first monster truck throwdown event in Edmonton, Alberta. I came off a car stack and sheared all the spindle bolts off, and the tire took off and had a little bit of work to do. Babysitting on the island.
Always jack of all trades at the events.
Yeah. That there was one of our, can't remember if it was last year's throwdown or they won. Yeah, I guess it would have been last year's throwdown. We got us some beer hats and for after the event, and we had to get a picture with one of the best dudes in the business.
Which dude are you talking about, Elliot or?
Well, they both are pretty good. Elliot and Jared, they're awesome guys. Couldn't do, wouldn't be where I am without either one of them. That was tiring down, loading up for the. That was the end of the weekend beer. It was like the most refreshing beer ever.
And this will be the last one.
Terry Woodcock. You know, I've got the opportunity to run with him at a couple different shows. That was actually one of the first shows that I was at with Crew Behavior. We did Edmonton, but this was the Grand Prairie and another one. But this is the first one that I was driving at. And this was in Provost, Alberta. And Terry was there, and we were going on a game plan and how he wanted to wheelie that whole run out for where the mud drags were. And I come around, and I after our little discussion there, he couldn't ever get it up that weekend, and I beat him on wheelies. I was pretty proud because he's known for the wheelies.
I always love bringing up the Hall of Famer Terry Woodcock any chance to get. I always like to throw one back at him. But looking at the comments here, we had another great comment come in. MJ, if you want to go ahead and read that.
Yeah, we have another one here from Josh Eckel once again. We appreciate you commenting. It says, if you could get behind the wheel of any truck for a freestyle run, what truck would it be and why?
Oh, I'd like to get behind the wheel of that Sinister monster truck. But really, I think I'd like to get behind Jim Kohler and Avengers. That truck, every time I see it, it's just always go, go, go. Very rarely do I ever see carnage. Well, I always see body parts, but not too much iron broken usually every time I see him. So it's well built, and it's been put through the ringer, so if he can handle it or take it, I'm sure I won't ever destroy it.
Yeah, it's a lot of wear and tear in the trucks. I know, you know, the Roughneck has had a lot of wear and tear. I know my buddy Brian Anger has been curious too. What if you've hinted at it a bit? It's been over a year since you've ran in an event. What has been going on to get the Roughneck back 100% ready for the next one?
We got a little bit of fiberglass work to do, just a front bumper. I'd like to finish up, or I'll get my buddy Tim over there on it. Hopefully he's got two or three, actually. We got a couple little things on wiring to do. Otherwise, we're going to be supporting a whole new look when it comes out of the shop next. After that much fiberglass work we had to put into it, I felt it would change it up a little bit and a slight different design, something that's a little easier to repair on the road. The whole chassis itself is going to look different. The whole appearance. It's going to be a whole new truck to ride even.
Well, you heard it here first, everyone. Jason hinting at a little something new coming. We have another comment from Josh. You know, you're talking about Elliot Miller's truck and how, and you know, Elliot's always posting how loud his truck is, and it's louder than Buckshot. But he wants to know if you think yours would be louder than Elliot's truck.
That'd be a tough one, because I've only ever seen a few videos of Elliot's truck, and it's been upside down. So normally when they're upside down, they're quiet. I think we're probably about the same.
Challenge accepted, perhaps, Elliot. Checkmate.
Yeah, bring it to Canada.
Bring it to Canada, says that. So as we near the end, as we're coming to the end, you know, we always ask, you've been in it for quite a while. Do you have, you know, any advice for, you know, someone who's still green to the industry or, you know, trying to get their foot in the door?
There's a lot of work involved. Getting your foot in the door. If you can find a team, kind of like I did, I was like the dirty shirt for Barry there a little bit. I just show up because he's all tore up, give him a hand. And there's the odd time that I was still doing my own thing. He come over, needed to borrow this or that, or I went back over and give him a hand. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff too. You pretty much got to start right at the bottom. I don't think there'll be anyone that will just throw you the keys to one. Right down to tiring up, polishing, you know, bolt checks, oil checks, all that stuff. All that stuff at, it all helps.
It's such a process, and we mentioned a lot on here. I don't think a lot of people realize it until they get in the trenches and they really get to be a part of it. And you've accomplished so much out there up in Canada, and hopefully we get to see you in the States soon and a lot more events. But when it is all said and done for you and Monster Trucks, what do you want your legacy to be?
I don't know. I just want to keep doing what I'm doing and see where it takes me.
No, I love that attitude. And usually I make that our last question tonight, but we're not done yet. We're moving to the next segment of the podcast, and make sure if everyone's still tuning in, make sure you like and share this video, because we do have a special guest joining us, and we've talked about him a lot, and he might have a little something to say back to you, so we'll bring him up on screen now. He is the one and only from the Western Renegade, Barry Parkin. Barry, welcome aboard.
Hey, Prince. Hey, guys. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
First of all, I want to thank Phil for the invite tonight. I could not pass it up. I cleared my schedule. I put my gel in my hair early today so I would stand up. And but I want to say this is the fastest I've ever seen Jason talk in an hour since I've known him. He's got how many words out of his mouth tonight? That's pretty good for Jason. And look at those teeth. Like that's the poster boy right there for Monster Trucks, those pearly white teeth.
Thanks. But I recall here a couple podcasts ago, you were going to shave your head. What happened to that?
COVID hit. I had my appointment lined up, and then COVID hit. So maybe round two when you get on there. I want to point something out. So I I said earlier that Jason was a heck of a driver, but that guy, when I wrecked stuff, him and Brendan, or Daisy as we call him, would roll up their sleeves and work all night long while I had to go get my beauty sleep. And he made a comment that I was busy signing autographs, so I truly left those boys alone. They did all the nitty gritty work on it, and I wouldn't be doing as many shows as I did without those two guys, right? So Jason was a heck of a driver, a heck of a crew chief. I probably should have beat him a couple more times, so he would, for all the stuff he damaged and stuff, the jokes he played on me. But no, he was a good driver and a heck of a crew chief and a close friend of mine.
Thanks. The only joke I got, I think, was Brandon when he covered up your name.
Well, Brandon almost didn't make it back from that show when I actually drove the West Marine out of the trailer and seen my name covered up and your name on there. I was close. It'd be like the time I threw a big ball at Brendan's head. We were at a between shows there, and I thought it'd be funny to huck a big ball at Brendan's head, and it made contact with that big mullen, and he turned around, and for a big boy, he can sure chase.
Yes, he can.
And then all the nights you and I spent laying at the trucks and wherever we were, Grand Prairie, Edmonton, trying to figure out A, how to fix it, B, how to put enough parts together to go and do a couple more runs, and then C, had enough fuel and oil to get everything back up and running there. So it's been good. It's been good watching. Yeah. Yes. And thank God for Fig. Fig did a lot of work for us behind the scenes, right? So
yes, he sure did. He was always there.
Yeah.
Plane ticket.
Always away. There. And he's still there. He's still there. Yeah. He's still keeping track of us. I can't get very far away. So what are you going to do? Like 365 days you've been out of the truck? It'd be like a new vehicle you're driving here when you get back in.
Nah, it's actually 565. It's been a long time.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not counting or nothing, but yeah, it's been a while.
Is that when you started growing your beard? Was that day one or?
Yeah, just last week.
You got more hair in your chin than on top of your head.
That's why I got a hat on, so you don't make fun of me.
I would never make fun of you.
But yeah, no, we got completely rebuilt the chassis. Might have to do some more shock work now, but everything's been redone. It's way stiffer, doesn't twist as easy. I shortened up the front end a little bit. Did a pile of metal work.
And fiberglass body work, I hear.
Yeah, we did. Well, some of it's hanging on Tim's wall now, but we put a new body on, a bunch of new fiberglass work. It's looks way different.
It's good to have Tim in your back corner there, because boy, I mean, if anything you could break and twist, Tim be the guy to straighten it out and build a new piece there. So good to have him in your back corner.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy.
So you go back to my previous question. Who is your monster truck idol / hero? I believe my name was mentioned. I couldn't quite hear it, but now you're on the stage to.
I think that was under the radar there, just a little bit.
I think Phil could go back. It should be on record that I think you said my name. So I'd like that to be written down somewhere, Phil.
This is forever in the archives, guys. That's why we record everything. I love the banter back and forth. I have another great comment here from Brandon Kay. He says, how about that 6-hour tranny swap and issue?
Oh, is that the one in the Renegade?
I don't think I ever blew transmission in a Renegade. Not.
Well, I think that's the one maybe I rebuilt for you, and I left the one linkage undone. Took you and Opie a while to figure out.
Yeah. There was quite a few stuff you did that had me scratching my head, from engines to transmissions. But hey, buddy, I'm still glad that you were able to put a transmission back together for me, and and then get us to the next show. So like I said, Jason's a great driver because he's the guy that was underneath the truck, fixing it when I wrecked it, coming up with solutions when I didn't have parts to fix it, and then also driving the hauler up and down the road when I couldn't. So, and a lot of monster truck drivers can't say that. A lot of guys fly into a show, and you know, a lot of guys just hop in the truck, put their steering wheel on the steering column, away they go. Where these guys like Jim Kohler and Jason Court, they go up and down with the road with the trucks. They have to tire them up. They have to repair them. They have to put wheel polish on them. So those guys are the true monster truck guys, that in my eyes anyhow. So, and it comes out of their pocket. So if Jason flips that truck or does a miraculous black backflip like he did in Edmonton, I mean, that comes out of his pocket. So, but he puts it on the line for all his fans, and it's about making everybody smile and have a good time on the show. And, you know, so soon he's going to become my hero. Just don't ever tell him that.
Thanks. I'll get you my autograph.
I won't. I'll miss you later and tell you where I want it.
It'll be COD though.
Yeah. Hey, I gotta jump in here, you know, so I can pull myself off the screen. Barry, I gotta ask you, can you tell me your best Jason Court story and make it count?
Oh man, I mean, there's too many of them. Bad stories I can't mention, as well as hurtful ones, but I just remember pulling back into the pits after I've done something really dumb on the truck, broke something, and you know, you pull that helmet off, and the first person I see was, you know, Jason Court and Daisy, and then I'd be pulled away from the truck to go do stuff with Monster Jam and stuff like that, and these guys would fix it. So my best story from him is, A, getting out of the truck and having Jason look at me like, what did you do? And then also him saying, you know, we can fix and get it back up and going. So Jason was the only guy I ever trusted to drive my truck. And till this day, I mean, he's the only one that has driven it or has the Western Renegade name under his belt as a truck he's driven. So then that goes with you know, longtime friendship and being a buddy. I remember used to the mud bogging days, I would run over and grab a tool or a part from him and steal it, or ask it if I could just borrow it for the night and then never give it back to him, because I would wad it up and wreck it. True friendship. I wish him all the best, and he's going to have huge success. This is a guy that's going to tear it down. He's speaking a lot better now. He's not using his hands in front of his face when he talks, so he's going to be the next superstar. I could see Fel getting him to do all the TV stuff that I used to do and be the face of Canada. That's bad. But go back to you, to finish off your question, Phil. I mean, Jason's the man. He's got a long career ahead of him. He's got excellent equipment. He's getting the people skills narrowed down. He's not so nervous anymore. And he's going to go places. He's going to go further than any of us in Canada. You'll be seeing him on TV lots, and his autograph be worth more than 50 cents right as it is right now.
Well,
thanks.
I love the universal phrase coming from Barry.
You know what I mean?
Even though we brought you on to have your head shaved, but we'll take a rain check on that.
Doesn't that hair look good though, Jason? Doesn't that look good?
Yeah, but you missed the spot. And I see some gray coming in.
Let's compare.
Nope.
I know. That just must be the glare.
Maybe.
Man, we'll have to have you guys banter some more another time, but for now, Barry, thank you very much for stopping by here tonight. And like I said, we'll have to hold you to that head shaving down the road, see if we can squeeze that in somewhere.
Well, when Jason wins his first world championship, I'm hopefully I'm on the sidelines wearing one of his crew shirts with my head shaved, probably.
Well, there you have it. Barry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
You know, Jason, we talked about Barry so much. We had to have him on the show, so.
Yeah, he's one of a kind.
So, Jason, we're going to wrap up here. Before we do, make sure you plug your social media accounts. Where can the fans follow Roughneck?
We're on Facebook and Instagram at Roughneck Monster Truck on either or. That's all we have for social media. And we have Crude Behavior on social, on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Go ahead, MJ. Don't you have a question to ask too?
I did. I can't remember it. Oh, yeah. Where can I get one of those shirts? I've just been seeing that this whole time, and it's just been bugging me. I want one of those shirts.
Well, we got them in the hauler.
Dang.
I haven't figured out a way, because I'm not very computer savvy, but I haven't figured out a way yet to get an online store going, because that'd be the only way we could sell our merch right now anyways. But
yeah,
if you hit me up on Messenger there, I'll see what I can do.
I will definitely be doing that after this, because my eyes have just been trained on that this whole time.
All right, Jason, you rock the house, buddy. Thank you so much for being on the podcast here. Actually, let me just cut in real quick. Chris Kohler says he thinks it might be for sale on AvengerRacing.com.
I might have to talk to Chris and get my percentage back.
Well, I don't know how that converts to Canadian, but I'm sure we'll have everybody check AvengersRacing.com too, as well as all the Roughneck pages. Jason, you did awesome tonight, man. I can't thank you enough for being on the podcast. We really appreciate your support, and hope to see you at an event sooner rather than later.
You betcha. Thanks, Phil. Thanks, MJ.
See ya. Have a good one.
You too.
So, you know, Jason is a guy that we've been trying to have on a couple times on the podcast, and finally we got him to come on board. And I know you're saying he's not much of a talker, but now once you start having the same language with somebody, you get some good talk. And really appreciate Barry Park and jumping on board too, and having a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great. It was definitely, I personally had some nerves coming back, because, you know, I haven't been on in a while. But, you know, like you said, as soon as you get going, it's, you know, everything's out the window, you're going. But it was good to have him on finally. And then Barry had them go back and forth. It was good.
It's like riding a bike, MJ. You don't forget it once you know it. So thank you so much for jumping on board with us here tonight. You know, you're a huge part of getting this off the ground. So anytime we can have you squeeze in when one of us are down for the count, we really appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys having me back on. It was nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're back in action here. We always like to say we're not slowing down, even though we slew down last week. So slew is not even a word. But, we have a lot of fun here, and we have a lot more stories to tell here on the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast. You know, if you liked what you saw here tonight, again, make sure you like this video and you share it across social media. We're forever live in the archives. Anybody at any time can check back to Jason's story and hear it. Whenever they want, you can check all of our past episodes on the video tab or the live tab on our Facebook page. Live podcast episodes, you can find Jason's episodes there, as well as Barry Parkins. Barry was a guest a number of months ago. You can catch Barry's story as well. I know Jason was in the comments for that, so you can catch up on Barry's hijinks, as well as all of our other past guests. We have a huge library of guests, so make sure you check them out there. And also audio only, wherever you can download podcasts, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, you know, I say every week, iHeart, Pandora, all the major platforms. Verbal, I think, was a new one. There's so many. Wherever you can find podcasts, you can find our podcasts. Just search Monster Truck Outlaws of the West. You'll find our entire library there. We have the widest distribution for any Monster Truck podcast, and we continue to hold strong as we continue on. And we'll be back here next week with another episode. So make sure you stay tuned to our Facebook page, where we'll be dropping a hint and announcing our next guest beginning of next week. So stay tuned for that. And you know, usually people in these shows, they say, like, keep the shiny side up and the rubber side down, right? Is that the phrase?
Something like that. I know before we do go, I also, again, we addressed it in the beginning. You know, thoughts going out to Vincent and his family. He did experience a death in the family, unfortunately. So our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his whole family, and we wish him all the best.
Absolutely. You know, that's what it's all about. We're all one family in Monster Trucks, and especially here on the podcast. So send thoughts to Vincent. Once again, thank you to Jason and obviously Barry Parkin for jumping on board. And we'll see you here next week for another episode of the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast.
Thank you, guys.